All right. It's Decisions Enforced, okay? And that's the thing that we've been... You haven't had a chance to hear my dulcet voice in quite some time. We haven't been on the air for a while, and we're really happy to be out here and to be getting it. We've done some stuff, you know, over a couple weeks, but it was actually recording at home, and now we're in the studio again, and we are moving. And we have a really... And I'm really glad to be here. I'm telling you, it's like coming home, man. It's like, you know... You get here and you get real comfortable in the spot and you can do all kinds of stuff and you're not really, and then you realize, wait a minute, this isn't home. And they have to come in and drag me out, bring me home and the rest of the stuff. But it happens again the next day. Anyway, welcome to the Michael Slate Show. I'm really anxious to get into things because I'm really happy that this is happening the way it's happening. There's somebody that I've known for a while and somebody who actually, I have to tell you, I don't think I ever told you this, man, but you know, you played a good role in bringing me up in a certain sense. No, I'm serious. I mean, I'm not that much younger than you, but the thing is that when I first met you, man, we were taking things to, you were actually helping people understand we needed to take things to a whole different level. And that was like, what? That was like, I don't know.
A little over 40 years.
Yeah, ago. Yeah, right. And and we're here and we're still doing that. And I'm really, really, really pleased to welcome you to the show, man. And, you know, why don't you tell people who you are?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm Lenny Wolf. I'm a longtime follower of Bob Avakian and a revolutionary communist. I'm unalterably opposed to this system and dedicating my life to revolution and the new communism that's been brought forward by Bob Avakian. And I'm here in Los Angeles. I'm part of and I'm helping to lead the Get Organized for an actual revolution tour. And we are focusing quite a bit right now on two extremely important statements, taking these out to people all over and bringing the need for revolution to them. One of those statements is B.A. or Bob Avakian for Black Liberation and the Emancipation of All Humanity. And that statement goes very deeply into the whole history of Bob Avakian on this question, what he has done, what he has brought forward, both theoretically and who the person is, how he has led, and the strategy, the solutions that he's developed in terms of a constitution for a new socialist republic in North America that he's authored, the strategy that he's brought forward, and the kind of society, the strategy he's brought forward to make an actual revolution, a revolution to overthrow and end this oppression once and for all, and the kind of society, the kind of humanity this person has that would infuse that, that infuses that vision and infuses everything he's done. And that is something that I just interviewed Carl Dix, a longtime revolutionary fighter and revolutionary communist, also a follower of Bob Avakian, also a member of this tour, yesterday on the Revolution Nothing Less television show on YouTube. And that I urge people to see. What I'm here, though, to talk with you about, Mike, is Bob Avakian's New Year's statement. A new year, the urgent need for a radically new world, for the emancipation of all humanity. So...
Well, tell me this, man, because, you know, look, there's a lot of things that are going on right now. And everything that you're saying, you know, I keep thinking, you know, it's remarkable that we go through so long. And you and I both, as we were saying earlier, we come from a certain place in history in terms of what developed while we were coming into being, really, you know, in terms of politically understanding things. And things actually had ups and downs. But when you look at what's happened now, one of the things that I was talking with my wife earlier, and I was just saying, one of the things that really strikes me, and you started to speak about this, and I'm not trying to get silly or something about it because I think it's really important, but it's, you know, the more, and I've been involved with this movement for quite some time, right, as you have. And at the same time, for me, man, I know one of the things that got to me, and even as you were talking about Bob Avakian, you're talking about B.A., you're talking about what he has brought to things. You know, and I think it's important for people to understand what is the importance of this, because a lot of times people come up to me and say, look, you're always talking about this guy. You're always doing this. You're doing that. But what is it that he's actually, that's he's made? What is the thing that he's done that actually makes it, I mean, it has the potential of making a whole different world. And I think people don't think about that enough. And that's one of the things, as I was reading this and thinking about talking to you about this, the whole idea of everything that's laid out, like in this pamphlet that we're going to tell people about, you know, as we talk about it. But there's a whole point there that's laid out that not just it's what BA knows, it's what he's been doing, what he's been developing, but also what he's been bringing to people, because he comes to people with, and I'm sorry, it's not silly to say this, he comes to people with truth. He comes to people with truth, and he wrestles with people to recognize that and what they can do about this, and that they have a responsibility in a certain sense as human beings in the world to actually dig into this and to move on the basis of that. So I'd like to, you know, I don't know if that's like a little too.
I think he fundamentally comes at people and he comes at everything with a method for getting at the truth. And that is, if you asked me at the very beginning, what is it? What in particular about BA, I would say that you look at all the leaders of the past who brought forward tremendous things. Marx gave humanity the ability to understand in a fundamental way, scientifically, how societies develop the way they develop, why revolutions happen, why revolutions are necessary. And that science was further developed by other great leaders, by Lenin in the Russian Revolution, by Mao in China. But BA has taken elements that were unscientific and he's put this on a fundamentally scientific foundation. And I think I do want to focus people on this statement. And there is a whole discussion in this statement of the importance in confronting the very, very dire situation we face now, which I do want to get to. But in confronting this, to consistently employ the scientific method. And, you know, there's a point in this statement where he says that we've got to one dimension of being consistently scientific is rising above and repudiating methodologically the philosophical relativism of identity politics, which does a great deal of harm through reducing truth to partial, unsystematized experience and subjective sentiment, my truth, our truth, your truth, in opposition to real objective truth, which is correctly, scientifically arrived at through an evidence-based process, to determine whether or not something, an idea or a theory, an assertion, corresponds to actual material reality. That's a quote from this statement, and I think this is applied, this method of following the truth, following the evidence where it leads you, getting to the underlying dynamics, and seeing what's driving things forward. This is one thing that marks everything BA does and everything he's brought forward, and it runs through this entire New Year's statement, a new year, the urgent need for a radically new world for the emancipation of all humanity. I do want to, and this involves, anyway, that's what I want to say about it. That's just to answer that question without going on further.
Nobody's going to stop you from going on further, brother. I mean, because when I'm listening to it, it's look, people, so many people are actually, you know, they're looking for answers to stuff. They're looking for answers to why their life is so screwed up. They're looking for answers to why what's happening to people, what happened in Georgia. They're looking for the answers to, you know, what happens to people around the world. I mean, you see some of these things where you see these kids and the starvation and the, you know, all of the horrors that are being just unleashed on people everywhere, and including with a lot of people here. And the fact that this society is something that in the past, you know, sometimes you would say not, and the not so, you know, far away past, it wasn't, you would have people say, well, look, man, you got it better here than anywhere else. You got this and this and this. And it was, and people would have a lot of times, they would have a hard time saying, well, why do we have it, you know, relatively good? But even, you know, where does that come from? And trying to help people understand this. But there's also an understanding of when you see what's more and more, one of the things I got through reading this, and reading it a couple times, because it really did strike me the importance of it. And I would also just echo you in terms of people need to get this and read it and study it and talk with people about it and we'll be talking with them about it a little bit more in this as this show goes on. But you know, there's a real need for people to understand what has really happened, why it happened, and what the hell we can do about it. I mean, this is, you know, we're sitting here and we're looking at all this stuff that's going on, all the horrors that are happening. The stuff that's, you know, the thing in D.C. right after Trump found out he wasn't going to be able to, you know, make his coup, and how that played out. All the stuff that's happening in you know, the more and more the question of war. I mean, people, it was interesting too, because somebody was talking to me the other day and they said, look, you know, they said, I couldn't believe, you know, I don't think that Biden is going to get in there and he's going to start talking about war. He's going to start jingling his, you know, the bells to war. And not a day later, Biden was in there jingling the bells to war, you know? And people are trying to wrestle with this of what's going on and where do we go? What do we do about it? And that's one of the things I think is so essential in what Avakian has actually done in terms of being laying this out, and people can get access to this. But you have to want to get that access. You have to actually be able to dig into that and figure out what's going on. And, you know, I know I'm sort of going all over the place, but it is because there's a real need for people. I think there's a real need for people to see that this is not just you and me talking or a few people talking about this, but there's an actual movement that exists and it needs to grow and needs to actually, you know, take root among people, all kinds of people, you know, and because it's not hyperbole to say that the future of humanity and the planet itself is that what's at stake. And we have a role in being able to try and stop that and being able to try and change things, to turn things back on that, you know. So let's just, I don't know if that's too.
Well, you covered an awful lot of ground there. Let's look at it and see where we want to start. One thing you talked about, how do we understand all these horrors that we're confronted with? You started with Atlanta. You could have looked at other, you know, there's no shortage. There's the trial beginning in Minnesota next week of Derek Chauvin for the horrifically brutal murder of George Floyd. And yet even in the wake of that, more such murders occur. You talked about the relative standard of living between the United States and other countries of the world, people driven here from around the world. You talked about the illusions that many people have about Biden, and then you talked about the need for a movement. I think that, I mean, there's a lot.
Talk about a lot there.
There's a lot there to sort through. I think to begin with, though, how do we understand all these different horrors around us? How do we make sense of this? How does it not just appear like a crazy kaleidoscope of a lot of different things happening to us? How do we, you know, and what this statement does, one of the things it does is it points you to, it gives you an understanding in very basic terms of how do you apply a scientific method to the understanding of society? How do you prevent yourself from getting whipped around, not just yourself, but other people you're working with, from getting whipped around by the events of society? How do you dig in by this event, that event? How do you dig into the deep underlying causes, the mainsprings the sources of these different events? What causes one outrage after another? And this is both the method for doing this is laid out here, and then there's a number of extremely concrete analyses of what has happened in the past 70 years with the situation, when the situation of the majority of African-American people in this country has gone from being sharecroppers and small farmers in the rural South to then being employed in industry, principally employed in industry in the urban centers of the North and South, and then today where those jobs have left, quote unquote. And many people find themselves with no real way to survive as almost surplus population and are being incarcerated en masse. How do we understand the things that have led to this? And more than that, what do we do about it? How do we bring forward? This is precisely where your point on what kind of movement do we need comes in. Mm-hmm. How do we end this? Not how do we get a little bit fairer shake, not how do we make this reform or that reform to something that is horrific, but how do we end this? And in ending it, how do we bring something new that's on the road to actually uprooting this and all other forms of oppression once and for all? He does a similar exposition in this New Year's statement, which people, by the way, can get at revcom.us and should be going to revcom.us. But that is, this is at the very top. Go to revcom.us and get it. He also, in this statement, discusses what's and analyzes what has happened with the situation and the position of women in this country and around the world, and what accounts for the tremendous vitriolic, violent reaction all over the world, including in this country, that you just saw in Atlanta 1 week ago, and that, and around which mentality there are tens of millions of people in this country who are organized and are determined to impose an outright patriarchal, an outright blatant patriarchy, with the most reactionary elements of that, a Gilead, if you watch The Handmaid's Tale on TV, on the society. So these are things that are, and again, what's the solution? These are all things that are spoken to and gone into in this statement as one element. That's just covering the point you made, the questions you were asking about the horrors, mm-hmm. and some of the other within the society, not even getting into the, you were touching on the question of war, of the relative standard of living of this country vis-a-vis the rest of the world, but just on that one element of what was really a very... a question that actually reveals in the way you posed it how everything is tied together and the onrush of events that everybody faces. This statement will gives clarity. As you pointed out, it demands more than one reading, but you can get a scientific understanding from it.
And that's something people have to understand themselves. I mean, it's this idea of... you get this understanding, and then you have to do something with it too, you know, because it's not, it can't be just sitting there in your head and just like, okay, I understand that now, whatever. But there's actually, I was looking at this, and I don't know whether you would, you know, why don't you, you circled this earlier, and I was thinking this would be something good that you could just, I think people need to hear this, man.
Yeah.
I think it's something that is really important right now.
Yeah, I think this is actually, and then I want to get into what is on you, what is on me,
right,
and
right.
What is on you who are listening to this. So I want to speak to you directly. But first, I do want the people who are listening to this to kind of take this on board. The electoral defeat of the Trump-Pence regime only buys some time, both in relation to the imminent danger posed by the fascism this regime represents, and more fundamentally in terms of the potentially existential crisis humanity is increasingly facing as a consequence of being bound to the dynamics of this system of capitalism imperialism. But in essential terms, time is not on the side of the struggle for a better future for humanity. And let me repeat that. In essential terms, time is not on the side of the struggle for a better future for humanity. So the time there is must not be squandered. Mired in oblivious individualism and political paralysis, or misspent on misdirected activity that only reinforces this system, which perpetuates endless horrors for the masses of humanity and has brought things to the brink of very real catastrophe. And I do want to speak very frankly to people who are caught up in hoping that Biden will somehow be able to somehow wish away or reconcile with, whether to reconcile with or wish away this fascist force within the United States and around the world that is determined to come back and determined to impose a fully fascist order on this country. That this capitalist system will somehow, this capitalist imperialist system will somehow reform itself in a way that can actually deal with the existential environmental crisis that's facing humanity and all these other things. There are, we face, and here I will quote Avakian again, we have two choices. Either, I don't have the quote handy, but either live with all this and consign future generations to this or worse, if indeed there are future generations, or make revolution. Those are our choices. And this is what needs to be confronted. All these other, and this is part of the importance of digging into this statement. There's the simple of it, which I just said, but then there is the need, if you are serious about, and I believe in their hearts your listeners are serious. If you are serious about dealing with the terrible, terrible future you know we face, you have got to confront, you've got to come to grips with, you've got to get into this New Year's statement. The arguments that are made there, and then the vision that is put forward for a whole different future for humanity that can, yes, be realized through a road to revcom.us, to go to the Revolution Nothing Less show, to become part of this movement, to learn more about it as you get into it, to work through your questions. But there is this fundamental matter of the two choices that the people do need to come to grips with and confront.
Mm-hmm. Right now, I want to remind listeners of the Michael Slate Show that this show is usually recorded earlier. This show was recorded before the beginning of the trial of the cop who murdered George Floyd in Minneapolis. Also, during the original broadcast, we took listener calls. But of course, unfortunately, you will not be able to call your local station with a question or comment. But you can always contribute your ideas on social media. And you can write to me as well. If you have something more important to say, something you think you want to really need to get out there, write to me.
Let me remind you that you're listening to The Michael Slate Show. And I'm Michael Slate, and we're talking today with Lenny Wolf. And we're talking about, you know, just, I don't know, one of the most important things that people could be talking about in the world today, really. I mean, seriously, it's not a joke. And it's something that people, I think, really need to understand. Just even with what you were just talking about. Look, here's one of the things that I think a lot of people, they look at this and they look at the situation in the world. And there's a lot that people can get angry. They can get frustrated. They can get demoralized because where do you stop it? You know, how does it stop? You know, you live in a neighborhood, you know, one day the guy that's walking down the street, he's 19 years old, he's just talking to you, he's bringing home, you know, bread for his family or whatever. And then the next day he's dead, laying in the street. You know, you think about people who have, and we see this, you know, this used to be something that when you and I were kids, it used to be something that we actually, you know, we'd see in books or we'd hear about the evil guys coming in and taking all the furniture out and throwing them onto the street. You know, but this is really happening these days. People are losing their ability to stay alive, you know, and they're trying to find ways to deal with this. I was looking at this thing today, just the other day, down in Echo Park, you know, and you're looking at this lake. You know, it's just a lake that's been there for years. In fact, ironically, I think a lot of old style communists had something to do with building that lake and all this other stuff. But what happens now? People, there's hordes of people who have no place else to live. No way to even, and it's not just no place else to live, but how are you out in the streets and the police are out in the streets and you're not worried about dying? You're not worried about, well, he moved pretty fast and he just had to be shot. You know, all these things, and I was saying that because I was watching all these people lined up, and I don't know how many it was, but it was a massive amount of people. And then they were just living there. Now all of a sudden they've been cleared out. You know, and they're fighting, and there's all this stuff about they're going to get taken out. They're going to be taken out of the area and all this other stuff. But it's just an example of people are up against something today and they're looking for answers. They're looking for some understanding of not just how to get out, but a lot of people want to know why they ended up there in the first place. You know, and what do they do about it? I think this is one of the things that, look, I've known you for quite a while and this is not kissing up to you or something, but you have always been one person who I have found has actually very sharply put this on the edge for people so that they understand what's happening, like we're talking about now, but what can they do about it? What the hell, what can people actually do? You know, and I think this stuff that BA has been like incredibly powerful in that. And that's why people, when they, you know, people have gone to see him speak and the rest of this stuff, they've been knocked back on their feet, you know, because it's sort of he puts the truth out. And there isn't enough truth these days. There's not enough truth in any way that's getting to people. People are getting their heads filled with all kinds of stuff, but there are people who are looking for a way out of this. And I think this whole idea and what you were just reading, it's really profound to have this material out there. But it's also really, really heavy to be living in the kind of stuff that we're living in, both here and what's being done around the world to people as a based on what's actually being done here. You know, there's a possibility. I mean, when you talk about the possibility of humanity going forward, yeah, I think people when you really think about that, it's not a given. You know, it's not a given. It can happen, but it's not going to roll over one day and suddenly everybody's going to wake up and say, "Hey, it's done." You know, but there's a real thing that people are facing. And then you have I know I'm going to stop after this, but
no, that's okay.
But there's also this, you know, look, there's a lot of people who do not think that there is any way out of this. You know, you put your head down, you try to survive, you try to live, you know, you do what you can to live. And then you come up against it in the final analysis, you come up against the reality. But even that is, I think, a lot of times hard for people to take. And they need something. See, this is one of the things that I was really interested in, too, generally, in terms of getting the opportunity to talk with you now. But, you know, this whole point that we were talking about in the beginning about, you know, what's being done. What is, when people are looking for what can be done, you know, and they're looking at this and how do we deal with this? How do we actually talk to people about this? How do we actually help people understand what's responsible for all the misery and horror that's happening to them and happening all over the world? And then even more importantly, I think, not even more importantly, but very importantly, is this thing that you've been hitting at. And I think we ought to hit at it a little bit more, because this is a question people have, a big one, is how the hell are we going to stop it? How are we going to change all this? You know, because we can talk about it, but then there's a question of, well, what are people to do?
Well, you know, again, Mike, you covered an awful lot of ground in that question. That's not to be sorry for, because you can't. It's reflecting how everything is interconnected in what you're saying. And I want to start with where you started, which is the people living on the most desperate edge of society, the people whose situation is one in which they're liable to be blown away at any time, as you put it, walking to the store to get a loaf of bread or to get a packet of Skittles. Or to cash a check, and then their life is over. And where there does not seem to be a source of hope. And I want to speak to that first. And I want to go back to a couple of years ago, when Bob Avakian was giving the speech, why we need an actual revolution and how we can really make revolution. And I was waiting with I was sitting in the audience waiting for the speech to begin. And I was sitting in front of two people. One woman whose son had been brutally murdered by the police and who just recently lost another son to violence among the people after the time of the speech, and another woman who was the grandmother of a young man who was, again, senselessly and violently and horribly murdered by the pigs. And one of them said to the other, you know, the thing about BA is he's real as you fill in the blank, because I know I don't want to get bleeped. And the other said, yes, and he's extremely scientific. And I think right there, there's a unity of those two sides that people feel. And that the fact that there is this leader on this planet right now is itself a tremendous source of hope. What he's brought forward, what he stands for, how he leads. And this is something we, who are in this movement for revolution, have to do a much better job at taking out and connecting with people. Not doing this with substance, doing this with feeling, and doing this in a way that people can grab onto this and can wield it themselves and be part of building a movement. So this is one huge source of hope for those who are ground down in the ways you were talking about, the anger, the frustration, the demoralization. Now we have to struggle with people. During that same summer and the summer before, I was part of a project that was focusing on those youth who are out here killing each other, in Chicago in particular. And there's a need that the thing we learned is that, as BA himself said, we have to go deep and we have to go hard with these youth in struggling with them to get with the revolution. Because there's a lot of different pulls, and we can't feel sorry for people. There's a piece he's written where he says, "I hate what is done to the masses, but I do not feel sorry for them," because he sees the potential there. He feels the way in which they're beaten down and ground down, but he sees the potential there. And this is something that we have to really bring forward to people. Now, there's content to that. There's a strategy that's been developed. There's a method for understanding the world. There's substance. But there's that unity that those two women who face the situation and don't just face it but have to live with it every single day of their lives that you talked about were giving expression to, and that we need to learn from and we need to carry forward. So I think that this is one important thing. When you say, how do we bring forward a source of hope? We need people, most of all from that most oppressed section, but from all sections of society, who are standing up and saying, we are with this. We are with him and what he has brought forward. We are ready. We are on a mission for the emancipation of all humanity. And then as you're doing that, yes, getting into basics from BA, getting into the films, getting into all the work that's been done to actually to figure out how we solve these problems. It's not that every single problem has been solved and figured out in advance. That's not scientific. That's not science. But the foundation has been laid, and the way to get into this has been laid for people to do that. There's, and then I'll stop on this, but there was a point in this interview with Carl Dix on Revolution Nothing Less where he was talking with, the first night he met Bob Avakian, they were going back and forth about what's the criteria for good leadership. And Carl said, well, they have to be able to scientifically understand the situation, and they have to be able to wield that science and apply that science to figure out what to do. You know, and then Carl made the point that B.A., Bob Avakian, said in return, that's true, and they also have to be good at bringing forward in others the ability to do that same thing. And I think that whole package is what we have here. It's why I say we're very, very lucky. It's part of why I say we're very, very lucky to be on the planet at a time when we have a leader like this. You don't. We've said this. We say this on our website. We say this on Revolution Nothing Less. There's never been a leader like this in this country, and there's no other leader like this in the world today. And this is something that as we go out, and we are really, anybody, let me tell you, you will see us. I am speaking, and if you don't see us, you should call us, but you will see us, people in the Los Angeles area, over this next period as people begin to come out, as the COVID begins to hopefully recede, you will see us out here promoting this and fighting for this and calling on you and struggling with you to get with this, because Joe Biden ain't going to save you. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez isn't going to do it. None of this woke stuff is going to get it. None of this identity politics. None of that gets to how do we end this and how do we bring in something where the people can get to work on really building and creating the kind of society where humanity can flourish. The guidelines are there, and we're going to fight for this.
Mm-hmm. Let me remind listeners that you're tuned into The Michael Slate Show, and we're talking today with Lenny Wolf, and we're talking about probably, I think it's safe to say, extremely important, more important than most things I've been talking about for quite some time. And I think it's important that people really get this. And we're going to actually give you a chance to talk with Lenny. Let me just say this too, though, man, because I think, you know, there is when you're talking about the, you know, commitment that people get, the idea that you actually, like you said, when you saw what was happening, you went to it and you've been there for a long time, ups and downs, all kinds of people, you know, whatever, you know, you have all this stuff that's going on. But there's really, you know, one thing that I think a lot of what's happened, I definitely don't think it's forever or it's sort of a done deal. But over a period of time, and especially here in L.A., okay, you know, like when I came out here, I was living back east and I thought I'm going to be out here and I'm going to be here for a while, maybe 6 months or something. I'm going to come back. But when I got out here, I saw such a different thing that was happening among people in terms of the way that people felt. You know, the way that people felt because they had stood up against the system. They had stood up against this horrid.
When did you come out here? Tell your
92.
Yeah.
You know,
what happened in 92 for people who don't know?
Oh, right. Yes. There was a massive rebellion. Mm-hmm. There was a massive rebellion all over the streets. In fact, I'll tell you what. Anything south of downtown L.A. was on fire for a good part of the time when I got here, when I first got here. Mm-hmm. People were enraged, but more than that, they were looking for something. They were looking for answers to this. Some of the, you know, the OGs that were down here at the time, and I was doing a lot of work among those people, just talking with people, because I was writing, and I'm having them tell their stories and stuff. And all that happened, and I used to go home at night and read this stuff, and it was incredible what was packed into people. But then, as we go along, and it was a fight. There was a fight to actually keep things going in a certain direction, to help keep the living, the thrust of people being alive, you know, going on. At the same time, the system was both hitting hard again with the police, but it was also coming down and making it all this kind of silly programs that they put in about like shoe washing and stuff. You know, it was like, it was crazy. It was and insulting for people if people were actually looking for a way to stay alive. But the thing is that then that disappeared by and large, you know, and then more things happen, you know, and things happen every now and then. And I think a lot of times what people, and I know somebody was telling me this the other day, we're just standing outside my house, and this cat's saying, you know, well, yeah, I like to think that what you're saying is possible, but I don't think that, you know, because I tried, I looked, and you know, these are people. He works in a factory, and he's sitting there, and he's telling me how he doesn't see much hope, and I'm kind of raising this because for me, what, you know, basically what I think what you're bringing to this and where you're coming from and what I've actually, you know, felt deeply for most of my life too, is the possibility of doing this, and that people, in order to see that possibility, I think it's really imperative that they actually examine what we're talking about here. You know, there's a need for what you're talking about. Now, how do we actually make that need take, you know, form?
Well, it seemed you started with...
I'm all over the place.
It seemed as if you started with the fact that periodically, 1992, we could look again. We could also look at last summer. There's these huge uprisings that occur of one kind or another, these huge upsurges where people see they see the need for change. They're willing to sacrifice themselves. In addition to what you described about how the masses fought back, the police waged tremendously heavy repression against people in the course of that rebellion, and people refused to knuckle under to it. And people continued to fight afterwards. And there was a, in particular, you were mentioning the gangs were coming together, trying to come together in the wake of this. And this is discussed actually in a clip that was run recently on the Revolution Nothing Less show, one of the clips from this season that people can go online and look at, where B.A. himself talks about how the youth tried so hard in the wake of this. And the police would attempt to break up their attempts at forging truces. They would break up things. They would also have people who were pushing something different. And I think the point is that the Movement for Revolution has to thoroughly sum up what we did right and also what were our shortcomings in going at it in that period. And some of this is the work that we've been doing. It's work that BA's been leading in terms of trying to wrench the Movement for Revolution onto the road for revolution. Nobody is compared to him for continually asking himself and asking and interrogating others, are we doing enough? Are we trying enough to break through? But it's unacceptable, and we should struggle with people, that it's unacceptable to give up. And that now in particular, there's actually been a lot of the things that were hanging people up, a correct strategy for actually taking on this system and defeating it with all the might they can bring down, a way to bring forward through a whole period the millions you would need to actually do that when the conditions did come together for that. A recognition of the kinds of things right now going on underneath in society that could lead to that kind of situation. And then the vision of a society in which people would really want to live, in which people could flourish, in which there was both. There's a passage here in the New Year's statement, which before the show is over, I'd really like the chance to at least read to your audience. But the kind of a society in which there's both dissent is flourishing while the needs of the people are being, the material needs are being met in a collective process that's taking care of the earth, and in which these age-old questions that are reinforced by capitalism, but that are also have the life of their own of the oppression of women, of the oppression of whole quote unquote racial and national groups, are being dealt with, are being taken on, are being on the road to being abolished for real. The only way they can be abolished, which is by first getting rid of the underpinnings and the reinforcements of those forms of oppression, this system. So there's that is the basis exists. We should not be apologetic. We should be very straightforward in struggling with those who say, I used to have hope, but I have no hope. No. We can't afford that. Humanity can't afford that kind of voluntary retirement. And we can't afford to be liberal or to be understanding when people raise that to us. There's a struggle to be waged, and it's too late. The time is too late for any kind of half-stepping in doing that. It's too urgent. And I want to go back again. We've only bought some time with this election of Biden, and that time is not a forever thing.
Yeah, actually, I was going to ask you about that because I'm going to have you back, man, because this is actually one of the most invigorating conversations we've had in a while. But, you know, this whole thing, look, here's the thing, you know. You know, when you look at this, and I noticed this in reading this booklet here, which I thought, you know, what you've just been talking about, and now I can't even find here it is. New Year's Statement by Bob Avakian. In a new year, the urgent need for a radically new world for the emancipation of all humanity. Again, that's a new year, the urgent need for a radically new world for the emancipation of all humanity. You know, you think about this. This isn't like sort of, I'm just going to talk big. You know, it's not like somebody saying, well, you know, what's going to grab people, you know, and I'll just put it out there. And I don't really know how I'm going to do it. But Avakian has actually dedicated his entire life to figuring out how do you stop this? He has a tremendous love for people, like you were saying, you know, and I've seen it in different spots where, you know, you can see it in some of the things that he writes. You can see it in you know, when he makes a speech or something, you know, there's a real love for humanity there. And also that love includes wrestling with people. You know, it includes wrestling with people, people who you know, might think, yeah, I've been there, man. I was, you know, you get these people a lot of times to say, look, man, I was there in 1967. I was there in 19, whatever, you know, and I'm not there no more. Well, you're not there no more, you know, but actually all these other people here and all over the world are suffering this. And if you ever, and we're talking about what's happening here in the U.S. I did spend some time, you know, overseas and in different countries and stuff. And I saw firsthand the horrors that people lived under, the kinds of things that were being done to people, you know, the kinds of things that were being done because this, not because they were, they were incapable of actually doing the work, or that they didn't have, you know, they just were lazy or whatever. This was stuff that actually went after people. And that's one of the things that actually really, to me, that's one of the things about Avakian, that really, the love and the, you know, basically the stand with oppressed people everywhere. You know, and not in a sort of a, I'm going to nurse you or something, but actually in a way that actually is calling on people to want to step forward and learn actually what's behind it and how do we actually change this. And I don't know right now, but we do have a caller. We have a caller on the line right now. And let me see, maybe we can bring these stuff in. Okay, and so this is something. It's Bill who's talking about, he says, well, yeah, but yeah, is Bob Avakian talking about a violent revolution? You know, and people do get worried about this. They get worried about, well, what's going to happen? And sometimes it's not just that they're, you know, whatever. We'll leave it at that, okay? That's somebody who just called in now and is waiting to hear from you.
I think we have to be scientific about everything. And the first thing we have to be scientific about is, what has this ruling class done to enforce its rule here and around the world? It has tremendous forces of destruction. It has tremendous might and all that it can bring down on people. And we understand that. That's why revolution is nothing to play with. And a revolution is at some point, first of all, on the basis of having mobilized millions, is at some point going to have to meet and defeat that might that is going to be brought down on the revolution. This is not something for next week. It's not something for next year. It's not something to play with. But it is something to right now begin studying. How? What kinds of ways would people who were trying to make a genuine revolution, an emancipatory revolution, need to be moving? How would they need to be organizing themselves? With what ethics, if I could use that word, would they need to be fighting? With what strategy? This is all work that's been done on the basis of preparing people for exactly what this ruling, again, I want to emphasize, this ruling class not only maintains its rule every single day with violence within this country, but as you pointed out, all over the world. If you just took the Democratic administrations since World War II and the number of people that they have murdered in wars all around the world, you're talking about well over 6-7 million people. 3 million in Korea, started by a Democrat. 3 million in Vietnam, which was carried forward first by Kennedy, then by Johnson, both Democrats, both invoked as great transformational presidents. This is how these imperialists maintain their rule. So we have to be very cognizant all around the world, and it's how they would, it's what they resort to right away here, almost right away. So we would have to be very, it would be very irresponsible to imagine that they wouldn't try to do something similar were they to be challenged in a, you know, in a revolutionary situation in this country. On the other hand, if that machinery of repression is somehow allowed to stand, if there's the illusion that, well, we don't have to touch that, we could just vote in a transformational president, you would find out very quickly that the institutions of the ruling class are not just neutral instruments. It's not like a washing machine that can wash just as well for one person or as another. These are social institutions of people with rules and conditioning and ties that have been a product of enforcing the rule of a particular kind of system, a particular set of production relations that are based on the exploitation of the many by the few. So I would say to your listener to one place to start is the film, Why We Need an Actual Revolution and How We Can Make Revolution. How we can really make revolution. Go to revcom.us and watch that film. But certainly that's it's a valid and an important question that your listener raised, and very critical.
All right. Now we have a chance. We're coming up on our time, but I do want to have an opportunity to give this person an opportunity to speak. He just called as well. His name is Steve, and he wants to talk to you about People Just Want a Choice.
Hello there.
Hi, we just.
Okay, I'm concerned that any system that we have needs to have the ability for people to make choices about what they want, what they don't want, who they want to cooperate with, etc.
All right, we're going to run out of time if we don't hit this right away. So, go ahead, man, Lenny.
First of all, there is a question you have to ask yourself of who is determining, who is setting the terms in any system, because somebody's going to set the terms. Somebody's going to determine what kinds of choices are offered to people. And frankly, even beyond whatever anybody individually wants to do, your choices are going to be constrained by your material reality. We might want to have everybody. I don't think you want it necessarily. I don't certainly want it. We might want everybody to be able to have a standard of living where everybody has two cars, and yet the planet continues to, the planet can be mended and can flourish. But that's not a choice. That's constrained. We can't do that. We can't do that. So we need a system in which people can, people have to have the ability to make choices. People have to determine. People have to emancipate themselves, but they need leadership to do that. And the question is, what is the leadership that is actually formulating the choices? I do want to say to Steve, get the Constitution for the New Socialist Republic of North America. First of all, get this New Year's statement by Bob Avakian, A New Year, the Urgent Need for a Radically New World for the Emancipation of All Humanity. Towards the end of this statement, he makes the point about that Constitution. It is a fact that nowhere else in any actual or proposed founding or guiding document of any government is there anything like not only the protection, but the provision for dissent and intellectual and cultural ferment that is embodied in this Constitution. While this has, as its solid core, a grounding in the socialist transformation of the economy with the goal of abolishing all exploitation and the corresponding transformation of all the social, political, social relations and political institutions to uproot all oppression and the promotion through the educational system and in society as a whole of an approach that will enable people to pursue the truth wherever it leads, with a spirit of critical thinking and scientific curiosity. That's a big, the statement actually goes on from there, but it's a big sentence because it's a big vision. But I think that vision, if the most fundamental choice that you, Steve, and I need to make is whether that's what we want and are willing to fight for, or whether we're willing, as I started out the program by saying, to live with this system and consign future generations to this oppression that it brings down, if there indeed there are future generations at all. That's what the choice is. That, make revolution or make revolution. Those are the choice. That's the choice we have, either to consign the future generations to this madness or to make revolution. There's no third way. But I do want to say the revolution we want to make, the revolution that BA has forged, is a revolution that has a tremendous scientific spirit and a heart for humanity. And so I urge you to check out BA and get into this and then connect with the Revolution Club wherever you are.
All right. Now, one of the things we're going to have to hard to do, but we're going to have to wrap this up. All right. And we're getting very, 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 very close to them turning out the lights. All right. I know the guy who's in charge of doing this, and he's staring at me now saying, turn it out. Actually, he's a great guy, and he's not saying that. I'm just making it up. Anyway, listen, I want to continue this, you know, over a period of time. We should have a definite time when you can come back. And actually, we're just starting to get some listeners that are calling in and want to engage with this. And I think it's important that we actually be able to bring this out in a way like that, where people can engage in that, in the stuff that you've been saying. It's rare. It's rare for them to hear any of the kind of stuff that you've been saying. And I want you to have a chance for a minute to actually lay out some stuff about you think is really important right now as we're closing down, and make a commitment to coming back and doing some stuff.
I'll come back anytime you want, Mike. I do want to say to all your listeners to write or call in to Michael with whatever questions you have. If you've had other questions sparked by this, please write to, there's a forum on revcom.us. You're going to have to look for it, I'm afraid, but it's there. Right there. And if you send in questions, if you bring questions to the show, we will come back. We will deal with it. We will answer it. And the other thing I want to say is watch the Revolution Nothing Less YouTube show. Watch it, watch it, watch it. Be part of that community. And as the COVID lifts, we'll have group watchings wherever we can. But this is, you are welcome.
All right. And unfortunately, we got to run right now, but we'll talk to you again next week, all right? So take care. And that brings us to the end of yet another show. I want to thank my assistant producer, Henry Carson, my production assistant, Jeff Pryor, and each and every one of you for tuning in. If you want to share your thoughts and ideas about the show, or if you want to volunteer to be part of the show, write to me at mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. Once again, that's mslate@themichaelslateshow.com.
Wake up. Sleeping in bed, no more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. You have to say they're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children to jump the very best you can. All right.